This is Vermont Edition. Earlier this year, James Duff Lyle was named the new executive director of the ACLU in Vermont, succeeding Alan Gilbert. Lyle's a Middlebury graduate who grew up in Massachusetts, but much of his professional career has been out west. We spoke with him this week. James, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Steve.
So you were staff attorney with the ACLU in Arizona, and in Tucson, you set up an office to focus on civil rights issues in the border region. And then before that, you were with an attorney with the Esperanza Immigration Rights Project in Los Angeles. So a lot of background in immigrant rights. What's different in terms, or is anything different in terms of the issues that you're seeing here in Vermont versus the ones you've dealt with in the past?
So a lot of the issues obviously take different shape, different form in different parts of the country. But, you know, I think a lot of the things that I was working on in the Southwest, much of it immigrant rights, police accountability, government surveillance, First Amendment issues, you know, those are all things that are at play here in Vermont and throughout the country. So obviously they take a different form here in Vermont, but you know, these are definitely issues that the ACLU of Vermont has been engaged with for some time and right up to the present. We just settled an immigrant rights lawsuit against the DMV, a discrimination case. We have two racial profiling lawsuits currently pending. Racial justice was another big focus of my work in the Southwest. So, you know, I see my prior work is entirely consistent with the work of the ACLU here in Vermont. The ACLU is a nationwide organization working on the full range of civil rights and civil liberties issues. And although there are regional variations and different approaches in different places, it's a continual push to move the country forward and move the states forward towards broader protections, civil rights protections for all.
Specifically on immigrant rights, of course, if you're in Tucson, you're near the American-Mexican border. There are there's a lot of activity there. It's a very big issue, and there are probably many different issues regarding dealing with the Border Patrol than you're seeing in Vermont. So, you know, bore down for a little for us and explain, to the extent that you've only been in Vermont for a few months, what you're seeing when it comes to immigrant rights issues in Vermont.
Right. So, I mean, again, Vermont has obviously taken a very different approach to immigration than Arizona. It's essentially gone in the opposite direction. And the reality on the border is obviously very, very different. You know, that being said, there is a Border Patrol presence in Vermont. There is an international border to the north. There was an article in the Washington Post a couple of months ago about the situation in Derby Line where people described a community that was increasingly militarized, increasingly impacted by a large federal presence, and where neighbors who used to communicate and visit across the international boundary were finding it much harder to do so. And really the description that the Post gave was very reminiscent of descriptions of places like Nogales, Arizona, places in southern Arizona maybe 20 or 30 years ago. So it's certainly different here, but I don't think it would be unfair to say that there is always the risk and the tendency that border militarization, that the national security state expands into new realms when the government improves or expands its operations in one place, they tend to shift to other areas. And it also wasn't all that long ago that the ACLU uncovered design plans for Border Patrol checkpoints on New England southbound highways, which, you know, the government said that there was no intention of ever building anything like that. But the fact is they have those design plans, and it's not inconceivable. Again, we've seen the government tends to expand these kinds of operations rather than rein them in. And so, you know, a lot of the work that I was doing on Border Patrol accountability, police accountability, racial profiling, they were much broader and more intensive in southern Arizona than they are here. But it's not to say those issues aren't at play. And, the latest lawsuit that we settled just a couple of weeks ago with a DMV in which, an immigrant who went in for a driver's license was essentially entrapped and and detained by federal immigration authorities, notwithstanding Vermont's very different approach to immigration enforcement, is just another example of the fact that we always need to be vigilant and we always need to be holding government accountable, regardless of what the policies on the books happen to say.
Can you compare and contrast your relationship with law enforcement in Arizona versus Vermont in terms of whether it's more or less adversarial or cooperative?
Well, there's certainly some law enforcement entities in Arizona that recognize what a terrible job the state has done in its approach to immigration policy. I'm talking specifically about SB 1070, the Show Me Your Papers legislation, which has been in effect for the past 6 years. There are many police officials who openly oppose that law on the grounds that the traditional argument that is more widely recognized here in Vermont, that involving local police in federal immigration enforcement is a recipe for abuse and simply undermines the trust of communities and makes all of us less safe. And for that reason alone, it is objectionable. And so there are law enforcement entities in Arizona that have worked to mitigate the damage that that law has done. Fortunately, Vermont has taken a very different approach. But again, even if you get good policies on the books, even if you have driver's licenses for undocumented immigrants, even if you have a policy, it's like a trust act or something that restricts the involvement of local law enforcement in immigration, you still have to ensure that those laws are being followed by the government and that people's rights aren't being violated. And we have seen that this does continue to be a problem even here in Vermont.
When you've got a policy like Show Me Your Papers that is such a high-profile policy in terms of people's awareness of it, I wonder if it's easier in a way to engage the public than it is when there's nothing in situations where there's not something that's so stark to put out there and discuss.
Yeah, well, you know, I think Vermont is obviously in a different place than a state like Arizona, but I really think it's a mistake for anybody in this state or anywhere else to just assume that, you know, the problems facing this country are things that happen elsewhere and don't really affect Vermont or states that are see themselves as different or are not like other places. You know, the fact of the matter is Vermont, like much of the country, has massive racial disparities from school discipline to police arrest to incarceration rates. The fact is that Vermont is essentially behind the curve in many measures of indicators of open government and government transparency. There are real civil liberties problems alive and well here in Vermont, and you know, this is why the ACLU is in business, and this is what we work to address. But I think it would be a mistake for anyone to be complacent or to assume that what happens elsewhere is not happening in some form or another right here in their own community.
You mentioned racial bias, open government, government transparency, all, you know, big issues. What concrete steps do you think in any of those areas would be helpful to improving the situation?
Well, you know, so this goes to a lot of the work that the ACLU Vermont is doing currently and has been doing for some years. I think, obviously, we're a multi-issue organization. We work on anything that falls under the general rubric of constitutional rights, the Bill of Rights. But if you look at our docket and the policy work that we've done, the public education work we've done, a lot of the emphasis has been, I think rightfully, on criminal justice reform, which would include police accountability, would include racial justice. It is also a lot of the emphasis has been on privacy and surveillance, a lot of it, again, on open government and transparency in government. You know, those, I think, will continue to be big priorities for us going forward and need to be, especially at this time in our history, especially with the national dialogue that we are finally having with regards to criminal justice reform. And there are a number of initiatives already underway in which the ACLU is participating and many others in the community, grassroots organizations, policymakers, and other individuals are participating in, from use of force guidelines to police officer decertification to data collection on police stops. and other aspects of criminal justice and police accountability. That work is going to continue, because again, Vermont is not such an outlier from the rest of the country when it comes to racial injustice, and institutional racism is alive and well right here in Vermont. And the fact is, there is a lot that we can do and that people are already working to do to address that.
You mentioned at the beginning that, you know, many of the issues are the same state to state. But I wonder if the solutions are often different state to state.
Well, absolutely. They are. At the same time, I think it's important to, and the ACLU is doing this, we are looking to the experience of other affiliates. I mean, the ACLU has the benefit of being a multi-issue, multidisciplinary, nationwide organization. We have affiliates in every state and Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. We can look to the experiences of other places and take into account what is working, what has worked, what really is not working, and why. And then we can look and see, you know, in what ways is Vermont truly different? What would work or might work here that has worked elsewhere, or what might not be a good fit? And that, you know, that's something that we are going to be doing increasingly. I mean, one of the really exciting things that we have coming up is we are expanding our policy program. We're in the process of advertising for a full-time policy director, which will be the first time the ACLU of Vermont has had a full-time policy director working at the State House and really statewide on ACLU policy initiatives. Now, my predecessor, Alan Gilbert, did a lot of work at the legislature, but that was in addition to all of the many other things he had to do, and he did an incredible job. But this is the first time that we're going to be able to devote a full-time staff person to working on advancing our policy agenda at the legislature and elsewhere in the state. I think that, combined with the fact that we now have, for the first time, two full-time staff attorneys, we have a growing staff, and really we're going to be looking to increasingly integrate those advocacy programs and expand our work, not just in criminal justice reform, but across all of our issue areas. And so it's a really exciting time to be coming on board.
What's enabled you to grow in that way now, whereas you haven't been able to do that in past years?
Well, I don't know about past years. I just know that I am extremely fortunate to be the beneficiary of a lot of good work of others that have come before me, including, in particular, Alan Gilbert, who, as over the past 12 years as executive director, has brought the affiliate to a place that it has already grown and is in a position to continue growing. And, you know, all new directors should be so lucky to be inheriting a really first-rate staff and board and an organization that is really on the rise. And you know, so I've looked back at the work that this affiliate has done over the past almost five decades. The ACLU of Vermont will celebrate its 50th anniversary next year. And looking back over that history, it wasn't all that long ago that things were very different. It wasn't all that long ago that pregnant women could be fired or not hired in the first place for being pregnant, that LGBT individuals were denied housing on the basis of their sexual orientation. It wasn't all that long ago that teachers were being forced to take loyalty oaths, or that voters were facing extremely restrictive residency requirements. So, I mean, on all of those issues, the ACLU has been front and center, and to think of all of those victories right on up to our work on marriage equality, to even the last legislature, where some really good legislation on privacy, on due process rights for juveniles and others. It's incredible to see what the organization has already done, and to think that we are still, in a lot of ways, just coming into our own and still growing into a fully staffed, fully operational organization. And it's just, you know, as daunting as it is to look at, you know, the challenges that lie ahead, to look back over that history, again, almost 50 years now, it's really inspiring to think that in a lot of ways our best work is still ahead of us.
So does the financial wherewithal to embark on that growth come from Vermont support, or does it come from national support through the organization?
So the ACLU receives support from the national ACLUs based in New York, but also a lot of support from supporters and donors here in the state of Vermont. We rely on the community to support our work. We're not grant funded by and large. We do receive some small grants, but largely we rely on our members and our supporters who believe that the Bill of Rights applies to all people and that the protections of the Constitution should apply to the maximum extent to all people. And a lot of people in that state, in this state, believe that. And I think there's no organization that is better to support if you believe that in terms of, again, looking back over the history, over the policy initiatives, the lawsuits that we filed, and the reforms that have been won and are still being won today. There's really no organization like it in terms of advancing a civil rights agenda.
Looking back on the months since you became executive director, is there anything that has surprised you pleasantly or unpleasantly?
Well, again, I'm just really blown away by the staff, the board, the community of supporters that we have. Everybody that I've spoken to has been extraordinarily supportive and enthusiastic and really believe in the work that's being done. They really believe that the organization has a role in informing policymakers, in helping policymakers, in working in the courts to defend individuals' rights, to supporting communities in their efforts to move Vermont forward towards a more inclusive, equitable, just place. And so I've just been really surprised by how, I'm from going to school here and visiting over the years, I've long been aware that Vermont has a very strong tradition of self-governance and direct democracy, from town hall meetings to the citizen legislature. And people are very informed and engaged on the issues that affect them and their communities. So I was aware of that. But being reminded of that time again, every time I go out the door, every time I talk to somebody, has been really inspiring.
That's James Duff Lyle, the executive director for the ACLU of Vermont, who took the position this summer. You can go to vpr.net and see VPR's reporting on some of the issues we covered in our interview with him today.